Hello, beloved, and welcome to this series on the Book of Revelation. We are busy with part 7. We will be looking at Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. These two verses for this message. Before we continue, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you for the Book of Revelation that gives us a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amazing. And Father, it's so amazing what has been revealed to us. I pray, please, open up our hearts to receive and our minds to understand. And Father, at the end of the day, so that we can get to know Christ Jesus better. But above that, to know how to live godly lives and how to please you and glorify you more in our lives. And have an expectation of the soon return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May this all be possible, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, and this is what we read. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which are to take place after this. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Well, this is a mouthful, but it seems as if it's not a lot, but let me tell you, it's a mouthful. Now, verse 19 basically gives us the outline of the entire book of Revelation. Now, there are people that says, no, it's not. It depends on how you look at the book of Revelation. I do agree with that. I believe that we are looking at the outline of the book of Revelation here in verse 19. But according to John MacArthur, he says that the things which you have seen in verse 19 refers to the vision that John wrote down in chapter 1. And that's about the exalted Christ. Now, we've looked at that. And then when he speaks about the things which are, MacArthur says that it refers to chapters 2 and 3, where we basically read the seven letters to the seven churches. And then the things which are to take place after this, it refers to chapters 4 to chapter 22. Right. That's basically the outline that John MacArthur gives, and I agree with that. And it's basically based on verse 19. So verse 19 gives us the outline of the book of Revelation. Now, when we look at the outline of Revelation, you know, as described here in verse 19, we basically see three things revealed about Jesus Christ. Remember, the book of Revelation is the revelation about Jesus Christ. We are getting a revelation of Jesus Christ himself. And in chapter 1, we see the vision of the glorified or the exalted Christ. And he is in control of his church, and he's in control of his leaders of his church. In chapters 2 and 3, we see the seven letters of the exalted Christ to his seven churches. All right? And then in chapters 4 to 22, we see the unfolding of the exalted Christ's final dealings with mankind. We see his second coming, the eternal state of the believers in Christ's presence. Everything described to us in chapters 4 to chapters 22. Okay, that's basically an outline that we see of the book of Revelation in verse 19. Now in verse 20, we get an explanation of who or what these seven stars and the seven lampstands actually represents. And the basic idea is that the seven stars represents the seven messengers to the seven churches. Probably it refers to the seven key elders, you know, one elder in each church that would be a messenger that would take the message to that specific church. So they would take the letter from Jesus Christ to the church, to go represented to the church. All right, so the seven stars basically represents those seven messengers to the seven churches. When we go to verse 16, for example, we read that the exalted Christ had the seven stars in his right hand. Quite a difficult thing to understand if you just hear that here is Christ standing with seven stars in his right hand. What does it mean? That's the wonderful thing about the revelation. That's the wonderful thing about the fact that here we get an explanation of what it means. But we know that basically it means that the seven stars in the right hand of Jesus Christ, it means that the leaders or the messengers of the seven churches, they also belong to Christ. He controls them, not only the church, he controls the messengers of the church. Those who would take the message and bring it to the church, Jesus Christ also controls them. But then we see the seven lampstands, and they represent the seven churches. Nah? Basically, a lampstand in those years, in ancient times, were used to give off light. Now, each lampstand basically represents a church from which the light of life needs to shine into the darkness of the world. Okay, that's just basic. We're going to get to back to it just now because this mystery needs to be unfolded a little bit more. But something that's noticeable in the whole of chapter 1 as we read through the chapter is the reoccurrence of the number 7. Have you noticed that? Now, we must understand that the number 7 is the number of completeness. So we read in chapter 1 that there are 7 spirits. Nah. And these 7 spirits basically represents the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, hey? So if it speaks about the 7 spirits, it speaks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit that's at work, who is at work. Amazing. But then we also read about the 7 stars. Nah? And that represents the fullness of the church's leadership. Because the stars basically refers to the elders. Nah? There's a fullness in the in the church's leadership, because there's 7 stars. And then the 7 lampstands, it basically represents the fullness of the church. The reason why Jesus writes the letters to 7 churches is because the 7 churches represents all the churches of all the ages. It's amazing when you read the letters. We will find that in each one of those letters will represent something that happens within churches. And all the churches need to do is to read the letters, and they will know exactly, they will be able to examine themselves, and at the end of the day, take that examination of themselves, and then read what is said by Christ, and then apply it to the church, and it will sort out the problems in the church. Right. When we get to the 7 churches, we are going to look at that in detail. It's beautiful, actually. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Then there are the 7 letters. Obviously, a letter to each one of the churches that was sent. Eh? That basically represents the fullness of the revelation that Jesus Christ gives to the churches. All symbolic speech. Yeah. Isn't it beautiful? So beautiful. The symbolic, figurative speech that we see in the book of Revelation. There is a message that's going to the churches, and that church represents the fullness of the church, of the whole church. And the messengers is the completeness of the messengers that Christ would have in those churches to bring the message to those churches. And it is, so it's going to be brought by the fullness of the messengers, the fullness of the leaders that are in the hands of the one who controls them, the one that is in charge of them. And it's these 7 letters, the complete message that is going to reach those 7 churches. All right? Because the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the complete Holy Spirit is involved in this whole process of getting the message to the 7 churches so that the 7 churches can become everything that the exalted Christ wants them to be. It's such a beautiful picture. Now Jesus says in verse 20, he says, "The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand." Eh? The mystery of the seven stars in my right hand. And here he talks about, or let's say the word mystery basically refers to something that was hidden in the past, but now, here in the New Testament, or here when it is revealed now, it is a revelation that is now revealed. It's no longer a mystery. It's something that used to be hidden in the past, but now it is revealed. Right, so what is happening is that the symbolism that we find in the book of Revelation is becoming clear right from the beginning. Jesus doesn't want us to be in the dark when he speaks about the stars, when he speaks about the lampstands. He wants us to understand what the symbolism is. So he gives us the meaning of the symbolism. That's basically what it boils down to. So Jesus makes sure that there is no doubt whatsoever that the symbolism is correctly understood. He makes sure of it. He makes it part of his revelation. Okay. Now, by using the word mystery, the angel is basically telling John that without him telling John what the meaning of this symbol is, or these symbols are, that basically what will happen is a normal mind or a normal person will not be able to reveal the correct meaning. So people would have been left over to speculation. But now there is no speculation needed. Why? Because we know what the meaning is. Because the meaning has been revealed. Okay. And that's the important thing that we need to understand. Scripture interprets itself. Scripture gives us the meaning of what certain things stand for. As we read through the book of Revelation, let me tell you, we're going to see a lot of symbolism. Oh, a lot of symbolism. But the symbolism that we find in the book of Revelation are basically taken from the Old Testament. So we see the symbolism, and we're going to see the symbolism, but it's all described to us or explained to us in the Old Testament. So we can get it in the Old Testament, see what it means, and then see what the revelation is that we find in the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at that, God willing, as we continue to work our way through this amazing book. All right, so it's important, nah, that we need to use the correct revelation of the mysteries that the angel basically revealed to John. We can't now come up and say, oh, the stars represents, let's say, I don't know. I'll be lying if I use anything. So we need to use the correct interpretation. It has been given to us. The revelation has been given to us. We need to use that revelation. All right. So when we explain things, so whenever I'm going to talk, or whenever the scripture speaks about the stars in the book of Revelation, then we know that the stars refers to the messengers in the churches. Nah? And whenever we hear about the lampstands, then we know it's referring to the churches. Okay. When we talk about the seven spirits, we know it's the completeness of the Spirit's work. You know, that kind of thing. We see the symbolism just absolutely break open as we work our way through the book of Revelation. Now, to come back to the two mysteries that is revealed to John in verse 20, is the stars and the lampstands. Now, notice that the angel tells John that the seven stars are the seven angels, nah? Of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. You see that? They are. Now there's this interesting contrast that we see between the heavenly and the earthly. Remember, with regards to the seven messengers and the seven lampstands. We see a similar thing in the book of Hebrews. When you work your way through Hebrews, you will see that there's this contrast the whole time between the heavenly and the earthly. You find, for example, the order of Melchizedek, that's the heavenly order. And then you find the Aaronic, the Levitical order. You find that, and that's the earthly order. You find that there's a tabernacle in heaven, and there's a tabernacle on earth. You find that there is an Ark of the Covenant in heaven. There's an Ark of the Covenant on the earth. There's a Most Holy in the heavens. There's a Most Holy on the earth. Jesus goes into the Most Holy in heaven. And that's where he brings his perfect blood sacrifice on the Ark of the Covenant. And what happens on the earth? The veil is torn in two, from top to bottom. And there's now entrance into the Most Holy Place through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you see this whole time, there is this contrast between the heavenly and the earthly. And you see it through the book of Hebrews. And we see it here in the book of Revelation as well. Now we see the seven stars are seven angels or messengers, elders of the churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. And then you find that the seven stars, obviously, they are heavenly bodies, aren't they? And the seven lampstands are earthly vessels. You see the contrast between the heavenly and the earthly? The seven stars, basically, normally when you look at the stars, they steadily just shine on their own, don't they? But when you look at the lampstands, now those little lights, they stand and they flicker, and when the wind blows, you got to look after them that they don't blow out, you know, that kind of thing. There is only a certain time that they can shine, depending on the kind of fuel that is in the lamps, where the stars basically shine, and they shine on their own. But the lampstands, they need fuel. The stars do not need to any care to continue to exist. The lampstands, on the other side, they need care. They need refueling. They need cleansing. You see the contrast between the two? So there's the stars, which are the messengers, the elders that brings the message to the churches. And then there's the lampstands, which represents the churches. And those churches are on this earth, and they need care, and they need to be helped, and they need to be refueled, and that kind of thing. Big difference between the two. Now, it's possible that the contrast actually helps us to see the differences between the roles of the stars and the roles of the lampstands, because they have different roles to play in what Christ is doing in his revelation. You see, the stars, or which are the messengers, now the elders, they just that. They just conveyors of a heavenly message. And they convey it to the lampstands, who are basically the churches. So the message that comes through the elders to the church is a heavenly message. That message can stand by itself. It is self-sustainable because it's a heavenly message. That message does not need the elders to be sustained. That message can stand by itself. It can stand by its own. It's solid by its own. There's no need for any care to be taken with regards to this message. The message continues to exist even if the messengers pass away. The message continues. It will continue on. All right? What the star does, it only shines forth the message. That's what the star does. And that's why there's this picture of the messengers, the elders being stars, because they shine by themselves, because all they're doing is they're just reflecting the message. That's what the elders do. They go to the church and they give off the light of the message that has been given to them. That's all they do. They're just a vessel that Christ works through. Now the lampstands, who basically receives the message from the messengers, they are earthly vessels. All right? So you will find that the church's light actually flickers, and it can go out depending on the kind of input it gets and the kind of care that it gets. It's so easy for a church to be wiped out. If all you need to do is to allow sin to come into the church, and when sin comes into the church, later on it destroys the church. In fact, when Jesus speaks to the Ephesian church, he says to them, do your first works, repent, or else I'm going to come and I'm going to put out your lampstand. I'm going to put out the lamps, because that's what can happen to the lamp. But the message that came through the elders, that can never ever be taken out, because it's a heavenly message. It comes from Christ himself. Can you see the contrast? Can you see the difference there? So the stars, they just shine forth this message. But the lampstands, they receive the message, and that message actually helps them, enables them to become the kind of light. It is like the fuel that these churches receive, the fuel that the lampstands receive, so that they can actually shine forth the message to such an extent that it brings light in the darkness. Because the heavenly language, or heavenly message basically is a heavenly message, and it needs to get to the people of the earth. So it comes through the messengers. This heavenly message comes through the stars. Now it comes through the messengers, through the elders, to the churches, and then they go, because they are now fueled with this message to go and to preach it, to go and spread it, to go and be what Christ wants them to be, Christ being the head of the church. Now, beloved, when we read through the seven messages of the seven churches, which was basically delivered by the elders, to those churches, it's clear that the message to each one of the churches is intended to help that church to shine as bright as possible. That's the intention. You see, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, sends a message via an angel to John, to each one of the seven churches in Asia Minor, through the elders, through the messengers. And the message to each one of the churches is very, very specific. And Jesus Christ is the one who basically called each one of the elders to shepherd each one of the churches. He is the one who places the star there. And he is the one who now brings his message, and he shines it through the elders to the churches. Right? And the elders, by the way, is just instructed to convey the message from the church's heavenly head. That's all they do. And when the elders share the message with the churches, you know, this heavenly message, it has the intention to sustain, to care, to refuel, so that each church can shine as bright as possible for the glory of God. That's the purpose. Now, question. What does all of this mean for us? What does it mean? Let me give you a few things. First, John receives a clear outline of the whole of the book of Revelation. We receive that outline, which means we have the revelation of Jesus Christ in an outline. It helps us. Okay, so that's the first thing. The outline basically helps us to understand the things that are revealed, that are in the past, in John's present and in the future. And then we also gain knowledge of the things that are in the past, the present, and in the future. And that helps us in our daily walk, because as we get knowledge about these things, let's say I walk in fear of what's going to happen in the future. I read the book of Revelation. I know what's going to happen in the future, and I can look up to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you very much. I know. I don't have to worry about these things. Then also, what does it help us to have this message, these two verses? In these verses, two things that have been covered up in mystery has basically been revealed. The meaning of the seven stars, the meaning of the seven lampstands. We basically get a glimpse of the importance of this spiritual message to the elders and to the church, or through the elders to the church. We get a glimpse of that. And we get to understand that the heavenly message is given to the churches by the elders so that the church can be fed and they can grow and they can shine as bright as Christ wants them to shine. And if they've messed up, that they can repent. Now, beloved, when we read chapters 2 and 3, we basically read the literal letters of Jesus Christ to the seven churches. Right? And we know the messages to each one of these churches actually gives us insight into the churches. It helps us to know what to do to enable us, our own church, to become the kind of church that Jesus Christ wants us to be, because he is the head. All right, so we can treat these two verses as just purely intellectual. We can use it, treat it purely intellectual, where we just gain a little bit of information. or we can view it as vital information necessary for us to get the most out of the seven letters that we are going to study, God willing, from next week. Beloved, and that's the thing. So when we go into the seven letters now, with the background of chapter 1, when we read the seven letters, we understand this is coming from the head of the church through the elders who are shining forth this message just like a star would shine forth light. These elders are shining forth this message and the churches are receiving this message. Jesus Christ is speaking to them so that they can become everything that Christ wants them to be, so that they can shine as bright as possible into the darkness of this world around us. Yo, beloved, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So God willing, next week we're going to start with the seven churches. And I don't know how long it's going to take us to work through them, but wow, amazing. I do hope and pray that you will experience it as much as a blessing as it has been for me to prepare it and to deliver it to you. May the Lord really, truly bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. As we study the book of Revelation, may you experience the blessing that comes along with the reading and the studying of the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you. Thank you very, very much that we can work through the book of Revelation. And thank you that we can understand because you reveal so much to us. And thank you that we have the revelation. Thank you that the mysteries have been revealed to us, so that when we now read the rest of the book of Revelation, we can understand what it means when we read it again. And Father, it just lays such an amazing foundation so that we can build upon it as we work our way through the book of Revelation. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, and enable us as your children to take in what we receive from you as the living Almighty God. Oh Father, this we pray, not because we deserve anything, because we don't. But Father, we pray this because we want to know. We want to know Christ more and more. We want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to grow in the knowledge of who you are. We want to understand your revelation. We want to understand who Christ is because we want to glorify you. Oh, Father, may that be true in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord really richly bless you as you study the book of Revelation. Take some time, read through it. Just read it. And when we get to that portion of Scripture where maybe I'll go into a little bit more depth than you would go into, then when you read it, it's not the first time that you read it, but you've read it a few times, and maybe, just maybe, that amazing revelation that you need, that needs to come from that text, will just happen on that time when we work through that specific part of the text. So may the Lord richly bless you as you study this amazing book. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.